people, don't go anywhere for a second.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Is this working well? Okay. Well, welcome to this session. I'm Donna Richter from the University of South Carolina's Arnold School of Public Health, and I'm the principal investigator for the project that we're going to be talking about, the Institute for HIV Prevention Leadership. My role today is moderator, so I'm not going to say a lot. I just will tell you that the Institute began with a research project in 1997. From that initial research, we developed the model for the Institute and were funded to offer the pilot year in 2000. We have been fortunate to have it funded ever since, and we are beginning our 10th year in January, the 10th class of folks to go through the Institute. The Institute focuses on capacity building for HIV prevention program managers in CBOs that are either directly receiving funds from CDC or indirectly receiving funds that start out at CDC and then flow through the health department and the CPG. So that's our target audience. You will hear obviously more about the Institute as we go along, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this now. What we'll do is take each presenter, and I think we'll have to hold questions for the end, so I hope we can live with that. Is that all right? Okay. All right. I'm going to introduce everybody at once, and then you can just rotate through. First, we have Dr. Melva Thompson Robinson. Dr. Thompson Robinson is an associate professor in the School of Public Health at University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and I pronounced it correctly. Then we have Jason Coleman. Jason is the evaluation director of the Institute for HIV Prevention Leadership Project. Next to him, we have Dr. Jackie Frazier. Dr. Frazier is associate dean in the School of Health Professions at Long Island University in the Brooklyn campus. And next to her, we have Chris LaRose. Chris is a research associate at the University of South Carolina working in the Institute for HIV Prevention Leadership. So we're going to start with Melva and move through.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Donna, for that introduction. The first presentation we're going to talk about is based on some data that we collect as a part of the Institute around the use and confidence in use of the DEBI interventions that are used by CDC by minority-based CBOs. And our co-authors are listed here, and I'd like to thank each of them for their assistance, particularly this past week. As far as disclosures, there's no relationships to disclose. Just an overview of the DEBIs and what they are. They're actually the diffusion of effective behavioral interventions. They first started out in 1999 with the compendium that was published by CDC, and they've since upgraded. But the DEBIs are actually 18 theory-based interventions that CDC has packaged and put together for use not only by health departments but also community-based organizations and others. And if you want real specific detail about each of the DEBIs that are available, you can go to www.effectiveinterventions.org, and that'll have information on how to get training about the interventions as well as specific information about the DEBIs that you might need. For this, we actually looked at 12 of the 16 DEBIs. And that was only because at the time we developed the survey, not all of the DEBIs that are currently out were available at the time. So the ones that we looked at were popular opinion leader, which is used primarily with men who have sex with men, empowerment, which is also, again, with young men who have sex with men as well as bisexual men. Community Promise, which is really a community-wide intervention that's been used with a variety of populations. We looked at RAP, which is really dealing with women and getting them to use condoms. Street Smart, which is for primarily homeless youth as well as IV drug users. SISTA, which is used with African-American women. Healthy Relationships, which is an intervention that's specifically for HIV-positive interventions and talks about how they should disclose their health status to their partners as well as other family members and friends. Holistic Harm Reduction, which is also known as the Holistic Health Recovery Program, is for intravenous drug users. Teens Linked to Care, or TLC, which is also known as Together Learning Choices, is, again, another one for youth and looking at substance abuse as well as risky sexual behavior, and Safety Counts, which is for substance abusers and IDUs as well. And then we also looked at Voices, which is a video-based intervention that's used primarily with heterosexuals, but almost anyone, in terms of reducing risk for HIV. And then Many Men, Many Voices, also known as 3MV, which is used primarily with men who have sex with men, but men of color in particular. So in terms of the methodology, we gathered our data from two different tools. The first one was the Scholar Profile tool, which the scholars complete as a part of their application process. It looks at scholar demographics in terms of, and when we mean scholars, these are our actual participants. It looks at their age, race, education, years of experience, either in a paid CBO or in a volunteer position. It also looks at how many years they've been functioning as a program manager, because the Institute is geared towards program managers. We also look at CBO characteristics, or the characteristics of their community-based organization. So we look at the size of the service area that the organization serves, the number of full-time employees overall within the agency, as well as targeting their HIV prevention programs. We look at their overall operating budgets as well as their operating budgets for their HIV prevention program. And then we look at primary and secondary populations served, both in terms of race and ethnicity as well as priority or target behavior, risk behavior. So that's one tool that we use. The second tool that we use is the Scholar Capacity Survey. And this survey is one that scholars fill out the first day that they come to the Institute, so that would be in January. They fill the instrument out the last day of the instructional session of their Institute year, so that would be generally like a Tuesday or a Wednesday in September, and then 6 months after the Institute has completed, so probably about March, April time frame, they usually fill that out. And again, we looked at 12 of the CBOs, 12 of the current Debbies that are out there. We asked around implementation, is your organization implementing it, yes or no? And then also looked at confidence, where 7 was more likely or completely confident in being able to implement it and use the Debbie, and 1 was not at all confident. We analyzed the data using SPSS version 16. We looked at time 1, or T1, which is from day 1 of the Institute, and we looked at time 3, which is 6 months after the Institute. We did some univariate analysis to describe the overall sample. We did some pair sample t-tests as well as a McNamara statistics were calculated to see if there were any differences between time 1 and time 2. And then we also looked at chi-square statistics to determine if there were any differences or what things might be associated with the differences that we were seeing. In terms of the demographics, you can see that overall the sample is significantly male. For these, this year of the data, these 2 years of data, we looked at 2006 and 2007, we had a total of 56 scholars that completed the Institute. And so over 55% were male. Almost 90% were between the ages of 25 and 54. About 60% have worked 5 or more years in a paid position in HIV prevention. About 50% had 2 years or less as a volunteer in HIV prevention. And about 60% also had worked 3 years or less with their current organization. So while they had experience in HIV prevention, they may not have been with their current CBO for a very long period of time. looking at the CBO characteristics, and you'll notice here that our sample size is now 54, and that's because we do sometimes have people who come from the same CBO for repeated years. So one person comes 1 year and another person comes another year. And so that's why the difference is in the numbers. And 80% of the CBOs had provided HIV prevention for 7 years or longer. So these are pretty stable organizations that have been around for a while. Primary populations that were served were African American, followed by white and Latino. The primary population served, priority population served, were MSMs, followed by heterosexual women, followed by persons living with HIV and AIDS. In terms of looking at implementation of the various Debbies that we looked at the percentage of scholars implementing an intervention from time one to time three. And as you can see, time one was a lot higher in a lot of cases than it was, or in all cases, than it was in time three. And some of that is really due to funding cycles and things like that that changed throughout the institute year. When we looked at differences, the only significant differences that we found in terms of implementation from time one to time three was around POL and healthy relationships, that those actual differences in terms of the decrease were statistically significant. Holistic harm reduction, as well as teens learning to care, was also not implemented in time three, so no statistics were calculated. These are the changes in confidence, and as you can see, all the changes were statistically significant, and confidence actually increased from time one to time three. Looking at some of the factors that were associated with changes in confidence, with SISTA, there were several things, and SISTA actually had the most things that were associated with it in terms of primary racial and ethnic population, primary priority population, number of paid program managers, operating expenditures, the gender of the scholar, and the number of years the scholar had worked in a paid position. For TLC, it was just the secondary population served and the number of years the scholar served as a volunteer. Safety counts, it was just the only thing statistically significant being associated with use of safety counts or changes in confidence was racial population, secondary racial population, and with voices, it was, again, secondary racial population, as well as the number of scholars that worked, number of years the scholar worked as a volunteer. Looking at POL, it was primary priority population. For empowerment, it was also primary priority population, as well as number of paid FTEs, operating expenditures, and the gender of the scholar. And if you think about some of these interventions, some of these things make sense in terms of like gender and priority populations based on what you're on the interventions. For Community Promise, it was priority population served, type of service area, so probably a smaller service area makes it a little bit easier to implement Community Promise since it is a community-wide intervention, as well as age of scholar. And then for RAP, it was type of service area, as well as the number of years a scholar worked in HIV prevention. So factors were only associated at a statistically significant level of changes in confidence of 8 of the 12 interventions that we looked at. So some of that, again, had to do with the fact that these interventions weren't being implemented in time three. Organizational characteristics were more often be associated with changes in the implementation of the EBBYs. So, or changes in the confidence in the implementation. So as the organization changes and as it grows, they're more likely to feel more confident in implementing these Debbies. A decrease in the implementation of all of the Debbies that we looked at was seen from time one to time three, despite increases in confidence. So again, there's something else that's going on, and most of the times that has to do with funding, just from what we know anecdotally. some study limitations. At this current time, and we're still mining our data, we're still looking at it, we're not able to link changes in implementation and confidence to the IHPL curriculum. We also do have a limited number of our participants who complete the time three or the T3 measure. And part of that is due because people move on from their organizations, tracking people and things like that. And the data only reflects a snapshot of a 9-year project. So in conclusion, particularly when we start talking about how do we provide capacity building to CBOs and their program managers, it's really important that we start understanding who's doing what in terms of implementing these DEBIs. Particularly if we're funding them to do that, we're assuming that they're getting the training that they need in order to be able to do that. So we need to know what's going on in terms of who's implementing. We also need to know if confidence in implementation changes over time, as well as what are the factors associated with the changes that we might see, particularly in confidence. So we'll take questions at the end, but if you have any questions, I'll be available to answer them at the end.